Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? Most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, brought to you by stgeorgeutahgolf.com. Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, our second podcast, our first week of shows in which Darren Bunch, my partner out in Bakersfield, California, and I, Mitch Lawrence here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the seaside golf capital of the world, we will talk about all things golf and travel, destinations, lifestyle, food, great things to do on your golf trips. We're going to cover it all, and we are thrilled to be with you. Darren, out there in California, I think you're as excited as I am at this point.
Hey, I have a question. Are you getting some kind of residual from Myrtle Beach to call it the seaside golf capital of the world every
time?
Well,
that is our name. What is Bakersfield? What's their tag?
Bakersfield is the dusty golf capital of the world.
Makes me want to go there, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So excited. I'm very excited for the show. We got off to a good start yesterday talking about your Emergency 9, which is our quick quiz of questions and answers to try to get inside people's head about what makes them tick with their own golf travel experiences. Today, we're going to dive deep into my soul and see what my Emergency 9 is all about.
And that is a terrifying prospect to me, who knows you so well. We're glad you're with us, as we said before, and certainly glad to be at our new home with our partner, GolfNewsNet.com, and the great Ryan Ballingy. You can find us there and on iTunes podcasts and TuneIn. A lot of ways to get in touch, and we hope you'll do that. This is an interactive show. We want your suggestions, your comments, your thoughts, funny things, all kinds of information about what you want to hear on your golf getaways. You can get in touch with Darren on social media, and we hope you do, at Getaways Golf on Twitter, at Golf Getaways on Instagram. You can connect with me on Twitter and Instagram, at Mitch Lawrence, spelled Laurance, and we hope you will do that. You know, before we get started here on our second episode, and we're going to get to your Emergency 9 after this, I can't wait for that, but we wouldn't be able to do this without our sponsors, and we're thrilled. Our first sponsor happens to be one of the really great up-and-coming golf destinations in America, St. George, Utah, which is climbing the list quickly of go-to golf destinations in the West. One of the amazing statistics about St. George, 300 days of sunshine each year, and that means golf. Multiple picturesque golf courses to choose from, a variety of affordable lodging options, and more golf travelers from couples to multi-foursome buddy trips are discovering the beauty of St. George, Utah, which is at the foot of majestic Zion National Park. Darren, I know you came back recently from a great trip to this part of our country, and you had not only great experiences golf-wise, food-wise, lodging-wise when you were in Utah, but you had one particular hair-raising, almost life-ending experience while there.
Yeah, you talk about Zion National Park being majestic. It is just truly unbelievable. And one of the things you got to do if you take a trip to St. George is you got to hike Zion. You got to hike Snow Canyon State Park. They're just phenomenal. But we did the Angel's Landing hike, and I got to tell you, it was described to me by people as a slightly difficult hike. Somebody said, well, you know, there are a couple spots where you've got railings on both sides you've got to hold on to, but it's really beautiful once you get to the top. So Eric Hart, who's the course ratings editor here for Golf Getaways, and who's just a maniac and willing to do anything, he and I made the hike one morning, and I got to tell you, it might be the craziest thing I've ever done. First of all, I completely wasn't in shape for it, so about every 5 minutes or so, I had to stop and just wheeze and try to get my legs back under me. Meanwhile, Eric is just, you know, jumping up the side of the mountain, scaling walls, doing everything like a mountain goat, because that's what he does. And but I got to tell you, you get to the top, it's completely worth it. I don't recommend it for everyone, but if you're in a reasonably good physical condition and you like to hike, it is just a fun thing to do. And when you get up on top and can just see the park for miles in all directions. It's truly unbelievable.
That's an amazing story to me because you are such an incredible physical specimen. I'm surprised that you had to get your legs under you.
I am quite the athlete, as you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot of people look at me and LeBron and think, well, similar body types, similar physical specimens. There's no reason that Darren shouldn't be able to climb the side of a mountain.
Yeah, and hops, clearly the same. I know you can jump tall buildings. I also know I mentioned great golf courses, and of course, places like Sand Hollow and Entrada at Snow Canyon, and the views and the picture taking that goes on while you're playing those courses, I know for you were mind-boggling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Sand Hollow is unbelievable. Snow Canyon, Entrada at Snow Canyon is another place that the final couple holes go through this black lava rock. I mean, you're really not at a loss for golf, and it's really, really affordable as well.
All right. So as we know, there's one great way to get in touch with the people and plan a great golf getaway trip to St. George, and that is at stgeorgeutahgolf.com. This is really a wonderful way. It's family-owned, locally operated, which I think is a big deal. They can help you build custom golf packages, all shapes, all sizes, and for any budget. stgeorgeutahgolf.com, and you can learn more about a fun, friendly, affordable destination. Get going on that today. We know you'll love that part of the country. All right. It is time now. Yesterday on our first podcast, I went through my emergency nine, and this is a part of a show of the show that we're going to be doing a lot whenever we have a guest and time permitting, because we're going to do five podcasts a week. We try to keep them relatively short so we can stick to one topic and really delve into it. But the emergency nines, we're going to be asking our guests. It's a great way to find out some information about who they are relative to the world of golf, and in Darren's case, relative to who they are just in general, because I have a feeling there'll be some surprise answers here. Darren, as you know, these questions we really came up with for a specific reason.
Well, yeah, these are the questions that as traveling journalists we get from just people all over the place. I mean, I can't count the number of times that people say, well, you do this for a living. You know, what's your favorite course, or where's the best place you've ever stayed, or where should I go if I'm planning my next trip? So we put together, you know, nine questions that are kind of the highlights and kind of give you an insight into what somebody's thinking in terms of golf and golf travel.
And as I said, the thought of getting insight into what you're thinking does scare me a bit, but I'm willing to do it for the sake of our show. That's how much I am committed to doing this show. Are you ready for your emergency nine?
I am ready. Hit me.
Okay, here's the first one.
But wait, before you do, Don't hit me like your wife is apparently hitting that spaghetti in the kitchen, because it sounds like she's building a masterpiece there behind you somewhere.
Well, as you know, she is from Sweden. She's making Swedish meat sauce with pasta, which, trust me when I say that I will personally be eating as much of it as I can over the next 3 days. And yes, she was opening a can of, let's just say, meat sauce. Okay.
All right. I'm ready for you to open a can of the emergency nine on
me. There you go. Number one, your favorite course and or destination anywhere in the world. That obviously encompasses a great amount of space. But what's your favorite course and or destination?
When we ask these questions of people, we're going to want a single answer. But I think you know me well enough to know I'm not going to give you just one answer. My favorite course to play anywhere in the world is Tobacco Road in North Carolina. You and I are both huge Mike Stranz fans. I absolutely love it. I love how it plays with your mind. I love how visual it is. I love how it's actually quite forgiving once you get out there, but a lot of people don't realize that at first glance. It's a wonderfully strategic golf course, and I just have a blast there playing it from all different sets of tees. You can play it all the way back at 6,600. I've played it all the way up from 54 or something like that. And I think it's a great place. Now, that said, I did get to play the old course on our recent trip to Scotland, and I would love another chance at the old course. I didn't play particularly well, even though it was a picture-perfect day, and I would like to see what I could do there with the hickories when I'm really on top of my game.
You know what's interesting? I love that you said this about Tobacco Road, too. One of the things that's interesting to me about destination travel is that a lot of times we all go and we just play a course once. And a lot of times that's not enough, because a course like Tobacco Road, as you know, you need multiple plays. So it's a great idea sometimes to be able to go and give yourself two or three chances at it while you're there. Pinehurst obviously has a ton of courses, but give yourself a chance to play those, you know, a few times so you can really dig into them. And Tobacco Road's one of those places.
Yeah, and if you're playing a single golf course, you know, for a couple of days, you know, play from all different sets of tees. I mean, that really helps you understand the golf course a lot more and kind of see what the designer was trying to do from a lot of multiple angles, because you're not hitting your shots into the same spot all the time.
All right, let's move to the second question. And again, you've been all over the world. You've played golf everywhere. We don't want to talk for this question about where you have played. What's at the top of your golf travel bucket list?
Well, when you talked yesterday in your emergency nine, you mentioned Australia, New Zealand, and Tasmania kind of as one whole group. And that's always been at the top of my list as well. Every picture I've ever seen of Barnboogle Dunes and Lost Farm just makes me want to go there. There are so many great places. Cape Wickham is now a new course there. There's just a lot of great golf down there. But to not duplicate you, one of the places that our friend Vic Williams has been to, and a lot of my other friends have been to, they've been to Wales, and Royal Porthcawl is supposed to be just an unbelievable Lynx golf experience. I would love to get there as well.
All right, well, that was kind of a quick answer. I expect you to go a little longer on that.
Well, I can keep talking just at random about various things.
Oh, God forbid. All right, let's see. The next question on the emergency nine, where, and this is such a great question, and I can't wait to hear when our guests are on, where is the best place you've ever stayed? And this can be golf destination related or not.
I mean, obviously, we play a lot of cool places that have great lodging with them. You know, the resort at Stream Song built an insane hotel where it's at. You know, I've stayed in the little, I guess they call it the golf suite above the Tufted Puffin Abandoned Dunes. But the coolest place I've ever stayed anywhere in the world is on the island of Moorea in French Polynesia at the Moorea Pearl Resort. I was out there on the island playing a Jack Nicklaus designed golf course, which is pretty fun and pretty picturesque itself. But the overwater bungalows that we stayed in that literally sat out over the coral reef had glass floors that you could look down into the coral reef, and then they lit it up at night so that you can even see the fish glowing at night. It's just an unbelievable place, and I wish I could go back there every year or every month or every day.
Wow. Well, it sounds pretty amazing. I could see why you want to go back.
Yeah, maybe we should go. We'll take Jill, my wife, and the Swedish spaghetti chef, and you could come along.
Okay, I recommend highly that you find something else to call her besides the Swedish spaghetti chef. That's just a tip.
I could call her the Nordic spaghetti chef, and then I'd be in a lot more trouble.
Yeah, well, then you're not going to be able to see her for a while, so you might as well call her that. Okay, the next question, emergency nine. What's the single best thing, and I don't know if I'm ready for this answer, the single best thing you've ever eaten on a trip, and where?
Well, I used to have a favorite restaurant, and I'm about to go back there another month at La Quinta Resort in Palm Springs. The restaurant 26 was just a phenomenal place, and they did a thing called the TV dinner. And it was like the old style TV dinner, but a modern uptake on it. It was a braised lamb shank. It came in an old tray. Old-style tray covered in foil, and they rip that foil off, and you get all the steam and everything. It was unbelievable. But Chef Michael Vaughn, who for years was there and made it my favorite restaurant, has moved on to Chicago. And so I think my true answer to this question is I have a group of friends I go to the Central Coast here in California with, and in Pismo Beach there's a place called the Cracked Crab. And we go there and get a whole king crab, and they literally bring it out, dump it on the table, and you just start cracking away. And it comes with corn that they dump on the table and spicy sausage, and it's just a gluttonous feast. And after you've been playing golf all day and you just go and do nothing but crack crab for 2 or 3 hours, it's unbelievable.
I am now officially hungry. You have managed to make me hungry, which is great.
And what's funny is not funny. What's great about the place is, I mean, it's not just about the crab. They make their own homemade sourdough rolls that, you know, every time we want to sneak like five or six of them into our pockets and take them with us. They make a great clam chowder. And the crab, for years and years, they touted it as, for fans of The Deadliest Catch, as being caught by the boys from the Time Bandit, which is one of the boats on The Deadliest Catch.
You know, my dog Louie, when he gets ready to eat, he starts drooling. He's a retriever, and he starts drooling out of the side of his mouth. Is that what you're doing right now?
Well, that's what I do pretty much all the time, Mitch.
But see, that's what's tough is because I don't know whether you're hungry or you're just crazy.
Or I'm just getting old.
Yeah, don't talk to me about that. All right, next question, Emergency 9. Besides the actual golf, what is the most important thing to you on a trip? Besides golf.
This one's easy. It's the shower. And as you know, I am a shower whore.
Oh my God.
That's right. I said it. I'm a shower whore. I want the perfect shower. I am in search of the perfect shower. And there's nothing worse than playing golf all day and going back to your room and having a weak ass shower. I want a shower. If you're playing somewhere cold, you want to go back and take a nice, hot, massaging, soothing shower. If you're playing somewhere hot, you want to go back and take a nice, cold, massaging shower. Showers are so important, and nobody really pays attention to them. Everybody tries to get fancy with these rain shower heads that basically just spit on you. And I want a shower that's got heat, volume, and pressure. That's what we need. And if you are listening to the sound of my voice and you run a hotel anywhere in the world in the 21st century and you do not have your shower game in gear, you are missing the boat.
Especially for Darren, who I just really found out cares more about this than pretty much anything else in life.
I care more about showers. I have specially retrofitted the showers in my house, and I have literally on trips taken a shower head with me on the road and swapped it out in hotels that have crappy showers.
Okay, now we're moving into a whole different realm.
Now, however, there are some great places that have showers, and you should know about them. The Villas at Pronghorn in Bend, Oregon, phenomenal. One of the best showers I've ever taken. I literally walked out of the shower and downstairs. I don't want you to think Vic was like just standing in the bathroom with me, but I walked out and told him this was the greatest shower experience I've ever had, and I might not even play golf. I might just sit in the shower the whole time. I just came back from Kohler, Wisconsin to visit the American Club for the first time, play Whistling Straits, and after a day of playing Whistling Straits in some pretty good weather, but it rained a little bit on us, just the shower and the jacuzzi tub, because it's a Kohler property, were just unbelievable and makes you understand that everybody should know what they're doing when it comes to building showers and tubs for golfers.
Well, pretty much anything with the name Kohler on it would be a good bet. Because yes. As people I hope know, Herb Kohler made his fortune in bathroom fixtures, and so he would be a good one to expect to have good showers. All right. Well, we're glad you're back from your showers because I could see you still being there. Personally,
there are a lot of places that I would still be with good showers, but there are also a lot of places that I curse.
All right, let's,
because they have bad.
That's ones. A different show. Your next Emergency 9 question. What's the one piece of golf apparel that you would recommend to everyone?
I have become a Next Belt convert for years and years and years. As you know, my weight fluctuates between being very fat and kind of fat, and it's hard to have belts that have holes. Keep trying to figure it out. I've literally been a guy who I've drilled holes in belts to make them longer and to make them shorter. And the Next Belt is a ratchet system that has no holes. It fits you regardless of what size you are. When I lose 40 pounds in the next 2 months, my belt is still going to fit me. So I love the Next Belt. I have one buckle and three different colors, and I wear them everywhere, and that's all I need.
That's actually a great piece of advice. I've never heard anybody talk about a belt as a piece of golf equipment. For real, seriously.
Well, I mean, golf apparel.
Apparel, yeah, that's fine. I'm saying that's great. I had never heard anybody mention that, and I'm giving you some kudos. Take it. But let's move on, shall we? Three more questions. What's your handicap, and what yardage do you play from? We're going to talk a lot about this. Not today, but over time.
Well, I've been as low as a six when I was playing with regular clubs and trying to see how good I could actually be. But since I've gone to the Hickories about 5 years ago, you and I both play Hickory golf clubs now, I probably play to about a 15 with them. I can get it down probably to a 12 if I worked really hard at it. I've gone as low as 76 with the Hickories, and you know I also can shoot well past 100 on any given day. But I'm having the most fun playing golf at between 5,800 and 6,200. We're going to talk some about Gamble Sands in an upcoming episode. They've got tees that are at 63, which were very, very comfortable for me. But I find when I go out with people, if I really want to have a good time, I'm playing right around 6,000 yards or less. And I think that's important for a lot of people to do. I think there are a lot of people that have a lot more fun, put the driver away, hit three wood a lot more off the tee, and just have a good time from 6,000 yards, and you probably score a lot better as well.
I think both of us are going to be ambassadors for that part of the game, because, as I said, we're going to talk a lot more about it, and happy to do it, because both Darren and I are at a point where we're having so much more fun than we ever did before. All right, let's see. Next to last question, who is your favorite golfing partner and why? You knew my answer yesterday before I said it. My wife. I'm hoping you say me, but I have no idea where this is going.
Well, it's not that I don't love playing golf with you and Brian Orr, photographer extraordinaire, as we pointed out yesterday. That is our drinking game.
Okay, hold on.
Word. And Vic Williams, obviously, I played golf with for years. But I play with a group of guys locally here, Chad Ramage, Michael Smee, and Jason Moyes, and we play for a thing called the Bummage Smoys Cup. That's right, I said it, the Bummage Smoys Cup, and it is a conglomeration of our names. We have a trophy. We actually have a winner's trophy and a loser's trophy, and every time we get together, we play teams. Chad and I are partners. Jason and Mike are partners, and these are the guys who I go out onto the Central Coast with and eat crab from the earlier question as well. And it's just a fun group of guys. A couple years back for Chad's 40th birthday, we all went to Bandon. We played a full week of Bummage Smoys Cup matches. And we play different types of formats. We play teams. We just have a blast. And I really enjoy hanging out with those guys, and I enjoy the competition. And since we started it a number of years back, now that I've gone to Hickory's, Chad and Jason also play Hickory's. So there's really only one guy in the group who doesn't play Hickory's anymore, and that's Mike Smee. You know who you are, and you will be shamed forever because of it.
All right, so the Bummage Smee, what's the name of the cup?
Schmoys.
Schmoys.
The Bummage Schmoys Cup.
The Bummage Schmoys Cup.
Correct.
Bummage Schmoys. Sounds like a Jewish holiday to me. All right, at least we can follow that over the course of the year. That'll give us something to do. So that sounds fun. And they sound like great guys. That's what it's about. If you know you're going to have fun before you even get to the golf course, you know something good's going to happen. How cool is that?
Exactly. And one thing about following us, by the way, and we didn't mention this up top, but I also have a Twitter account called Mashy Mania that we kind of follow our Hickory pursuits on. So my matches with various people like Chad Ramage, like Brian Orr, golfer extraordinaire.
Drink.
I keep my Hickory golf ball count on there of how many golf balls I'm losing over the course of the year. Those things are all at Mashy Mania on Twitter if you want to follow along.
Last question in the Emergency Nine. What's the one golf course, and you have played a lot of them, what's the one you wish everyone knew about?
Well, this used to be an easy question for me. It used to be Stevenson Ranch in Northern California. It was a John Harbottle course, and virtually nobody knew about it. Really well designed. The conditions were flawless because the company that owned it, the man that owned it, George Kelly, owned a company that specialized in golf conditions and golf maintenance. But Stevenson Ranch went out of business, unfortunately, gave way because of the drought here in California. So I had to start thinking about this question a little bit differently. And I think I want more people to know about the golf in Nebraska. It doesn't always seem like a place that, that people would want to go. It doesn't seem like it would be a hotbed of golf, but there is just some phenomenal golf being played in Nebraska right now. Sand Hills, the famous private club, has been at the top of lists for years. But you've got places like the Prairie Club. You've got Dismore River, which has had some struggles, but has two golf courses, a Nicklaus course that I think is really, really fun, and a Doak course that they built a couple years back. There's a place called Bayside out in Ogallala by Lake McConaughey, overlooking Lake McConaughey, that's incredibly fun and incredibly kind of quirky and cool. You know, there's a new course in the north called Tatanka that's on an Indian reservation up there where the buffalo roam alongside the first couple holes. There's just so much great golf in Nebraska, and I wish more people knew about it and would add it to their bucket list.
That sounds great. Again, makes me want to go. That's why you're the guy with all the answers.
That is why I'm the guy with all the
because
answers.
Because you can remember all that stuff and actually say the names, like Lake McConaughey. Is that Matthew McConaughey's lake? Is that a private lake?
Yeah, actually, while you're playing the hole that overlooks Lake McConaughey, you're required to go, all right, all right, all right.
I think that's good, and that's the worst impersonation of Matthew McConaughey I ever heard. All right, this has been a fun Emergency 9. We hope you've enjoyed it and learned something about Darren Bunch out there in Bakersfield. And by the way, anybody with an extra shower head you think worthy, just send it to Bunch, care of Bakersfield, California, and he will get it. That's how sick he is about showers. Darren, this has been fun. We're going to talk a lot more next time about the line. This is a great topic, the line between fun and crazy. And we're going to give you our own personal bucket lists. It's an interesting discussion, and I know it's something Darren and I have talked about a lot lately, and we're going to share that with you. As always, we hope you hit us up with any golf travel questions you might have, any suggestions for future episodes, your favorite places to play, stay, eat, all the things we want to talk about. And especially where we can all have fun. We're going to do that. We're going to have hashtag Emergency 9 and hashtag Talking Golf Getaways. And those will be our connecting points. We hope you join us again. We hope you interact. We hope you just have fun with us as we talk about what for all of us is the greatest thing in the world. And that is to get to travel and play golf. Darren, we'll talk to you next time.